All right, take your Bibles this morning and put those prayer sheets in a place where you can use them. There are some more. We're only going to print that, for the whole month, and so we'll see how that works. Proverbs 16, something came to my mind this week, and so we're going to do this before we get into our lesson, and we're going to be speaking about that each believer needs to have a mouth of confession. And so we'll get into that in a minute. But a preacher that I worked with for 5 years used to use this statement, and I always thought it was humorous. And yet, sometimes as I considered it, it was also a very serious thought. He said when he was in school, now he went to Tennessee Temple and also Tennessee Temple Seminary down in Chattanooga. He said he had a professor once make this statement. He says, this professor said this, he said, sometimes in the classroom, now he's talking about teaching in a classroom, and he had, I don't know if it was seminary students or just Bible college students, but he said, sometimes this happens, and it's a sad thing when this happens. He said, sometimes the information being taught, it goes from the notes of the professor to the notes of the student without passing through the mind of either one. Now you think about that. That's an interesting statement. You know, I think of a professor, I think of a Bible college teacher. They'll teach maybe the same class every year, sometimes preachers. I mean, they'll be preaching a message that they prepared. And I guess I found myself in that situation where sometimes you get done and you say, well, I finished my message. And maybe the student in the classroom writes the notes, gets done, leaves the classroom. And sometimes that message has gone through the mind of neither one. It's just material written down. And I thought this week, you know, as we're going through this series on characteristics of a believer, and I wonder sometimes and hope that it isn't the case that what we say, and I try to use as much scripture as possible, doesn't just go from my notes, which my notes have some age to them because I've used this in the past, from my notes to your notes, but it hasn't gone through my mind or yours either. And then we just kind of tuck those away and we wait for the next set. When in reality, I think what God's plan is that these things that we hear from the Word of God goes into our minds, and through meditation, it becomes a part of our daily living. I think that's God's plan. God's plan is never that we accumulate a lot of information, but we accumulate biblical information that then is put into daily living. I think he'd be happier, if we can use that term with us, if we knew less of the Bible but practiced what we knew versus knowing a lot and not using it. And this came to my mind as I was reading yesterday as well. My wife reads F.B. Meyer for her devotional time in the morning before she goes to work. She usually leaves at 6 something. And he had an interesting devotional. It's entitled Christ Our Light, and he uses John 8:12. Now, we're going to get to Proverbs, so if you want to just stay there. But John 8:12, and this is what that verse says. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not work in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Now, his comments were interesting. He says this, this is F.B. Meyer. It was the Feast of Tabernacles when our Lord uttered the words of our text, and it is supposed that they were lighting the two great candelabra which commemorated the fire cloud that led the desert march. Now you think in the Old Testament, there was that fire cloud that led the people of Israel, and they followed that fire cloud. Where it went, they went. It was in direct allusion to the fiery pillar that our Lord used this metaphor. What was to Israel this fire cloud, Jesus Christ is to his church. That's why I think we hear Pastor Brown so often says, as he preaches, that the only thing that we should follow, we shouldn't follow men, we shouldn't follow traditions, we shouldn't follow other things that maybe new programs, etc. We need to follow what? The Word of God. And this is what Jesus was speaking about. The wilderness, and then he goes on and says this, the wilderness was a trackless waste to Israel. There weren't roads, there weren't paths, there weren't places where people went before. It was a trackless waste. The people absolutely depended on the cloud to show their path and to find a resting place at night. Now this is interesting. He says, when it gathered itself up from the tabernacle on which it brooded, the people must strike their tents and follow, however desirable the site of the camp. You know, they might have been in a place where there was water, there was a nice place that they set up. Even though they thought this is a pretty good place, when the cloud went up, they had to move because they were to follow the cloud. However desirable their camp, they must leave it. However difficult the desert path, they must traverse them. However uninviting the spot where it stopped, they must halt there and remain as long as it tarried. To linger was to run the risk of wandering aimlessly in the desert till death supervened. Only where the cloud rested did the manna fall, the water flow, or the divine protection avail. Now that's some interesting thoughts on that scripture. The only place that we're going to find God's blessing in our life is when we are following him. And to follow him, we can't let the Word of God, the biblical instruction of his Word, whether it's our own personal time with him, whether it's the pastor preaching, whether it's in a Sunday school class, or whether it's some radio teaching program, if we don't let that Word go into our mind and stop it there so that we can meditate and allow it to do a work in our life, we may end up where he said, wandering in the wilderness aimlessly till death supervenes. Have you ever been there? Yeah, I've been wandering in the wilderness at times. And then he goes on and talks about those times when we are stopped, how those times are a restful time and etc. I have found that the reason I do not follow Jesus Christ in my life is because of me. I'm the one that stops myself from following him. Proverbs 16 and verse, find my card here, 18. I used three illustrations last week as we were going through the eye of understanding that each believer should have. Pride, Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goeth before destruction. I think we get to the place where we forget how important it is to allow the Word of God to dwell in our minds richly, when we get to the place where we think that possibly we don't need God anymore, that we've arrived. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride, this word here in Proverbs 16 means majesty, pomp, a swelling, a prideful look at ourselves. Remember I talked about that pastor that said that strong Christians can do things, go places, and be involved in things that might not be, in fact, probably are what God says they ought not to be involved in because they're strong. Well, you know, as I read the Bible, and I think many of you, we find that there is nothing that a strong or weak believer should be involved in if God says it's wrong. We can't say, because I am a strong, mature believer, I can allow myself to be involved or expose myself to things that aren't right. That's almost insanity. Because here it says, and as we're looking at this verse, pride, this swelling, this pomp, this majesty, goeth before destruction. The word destruction means a fracture or a breach or brokenness or ruin. And a haughty spirit, haughty means arrogant, loftiness, a haughty spirit before a fall, a tottering. Sometimes we've seen in these earthquakes that have taken place, they show pictures and buildings shaking and tottering, and then all of a sudden, then they just fall to the ground. This is what pride will do. This is why I believe God is so instructive about following him. And here in this illustration where he said that when the cloud rises up, the people had to pack up and follow. And when the cloud settled, then they said, this is the spot. Following after what God has. Sometimes we go, I think I have a better way, maybe a better plan, maybe a better path. But God's path is always right. So as we consider these things, I trust that we would always remember that as we look at the, not the eye of understanding. Oh, I wanted to finish with this illustration. And then we're going to go into it. Let me give you the verse here. The mouth of confession, if you turn to Matthew chapter 12. Last week, the illustration I used of that man ministering to college students in Illinois. He had a ministry at the University of Illinois to college students. And he had some students from a church in Chicago, and he called the pastor, and he said to the pastor, he said, could I come up and present my ministry? I've got some of your students in my ministry here, and we've been ministering to them and providing things and help for them. And the pastor said to this guy, missionary to the college students, he said, we don't let just anybody preach in our pulpit. And I was alluding it to pride. The same pastor wrote some theology books. He was what we could call the favorite son of the alumni where he graduated from Bible college. He even preached in the Holiness Conference in Menomonee Falls. And yet then soon after that, he was asked by his deacons to resign because he had inappropriate relations with his secretary. That's where pride takes us. When we come to the place where we feel that we can tell others things that need to be corrected in their own life, but we forget that we also are under the direction and commands of God's word. And so as we even look at the lessons that we have in Sunday school, these are for each of us. It's not for the other person in our row or someone in the church that is struggling, but they're really for us, and they're important in our life. Now, I want to begin this, and we've got some time left here. The mouth of confession, another characteristic that needs to be in each of our lives. The mouth, the tongue, it's an organ of speech. It gives us the ability to communicate. Matthew chapter 12, and I want to start in verse 33. So Matthew 12 and verse 33. My wife put up fall decorations this year, and then she puts up Christmas. She does all the decorating of the house. She does it for the grandkids. And she put up some decorations of some trees. And one day she was looking at the door was covered with this big decoration, and it had pears on it, on the tree. And she said, you know what, the craziest thing, those are maple leaves on that tree. And there's pears on the tree. She said, that's really strange. So whoever made that was ill-informed. Well, I think that kind of gives us an idea what God's going to tell us here in Matthew chapter 12 and beginning in verse 33. He says, let's back up to verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. Now, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Verse 33. The fruit indicated the nature of the tree. Now, I admit, I don't know much about leaves on a tree. If I went into a woods and someone said, well, what kind of tree is that? I'd have to say, unless it was a maple tree, I don't know. I don't know why, I just don't pick that up. My wife knows those leaves. Now, I have a peach tree, I have a pear tree, I've got some apple trees. I have figured out the difference between those trees, I think. The pear tree, I don't know what's wrong with it. It just doesn't seem to want to grow. The peach tree was all full of peaches, and something ate them all off. One day I went out there, and they're all gone. I don't know, either a very big deer or something, but they were all gone. But when the fruit's on that tree, guess what? Well, that's my peach tree. There's the peaches. Or my apple tree, because I see the apples or the pear. Because the fruit indicates the nature of the tree. You do not have to know anything about trees after looking at the fruit. The identity of the tree is found out. And the fruit on that tree, it says in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, now there's going to be an abundance of fruit on that tree. Of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if a person, as we said in Romans 8, I think it was Romans 8, or John 8, if a person is following me, Jesus said, they're going to have fruit. And if they really are following him in a serious way, they're going to have abundant fruit. And it says that out of that abundance of that fruit, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He said, the heart betrays itself through the mouth. The heart betrays itself. If that heart is full of the abundance of the fruit that God has given us by following him, it's going to betray itself. We're going to speak good things. It's going to be good fruit. But if we're not filling ourselves abundantly with the things that God has for us, it also is going to betray us. Now, we can fool a lot of people a lot of the time. But there's one person we're never going to fool. God knows that heart. Today, God knows each one of our hearts. Whether we are stocking up that abundance of good things that God has for us in our heart or not. Verse 37, for by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The fruit reflects the nature of the tree. Either will be justified, proclaim just or innocent before God, or we're going to be condemned. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue, one that is spiritually sound, it has soundness of speech, it is a healthy tongue, one that is full of the things of God. It says, will bring forth the tree of life, those in the garden, the waters flowing. But perverseness, distorted, polluted, corrupt, one who has turned to error, is a breach of the spirit, a ruin, a destruction, something that is broken in pieces. And let's end this morning with Psalm 19:14, which should be the prayer of each of our hearts. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A lot of people have memorized that verse. That needs to get into our minds and stick there. That needs to get into our hearts and become a part of our daily living. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Spurgeon said, the heart betrays itself. May it betray us that God's grace comes out in our life every day. Whether it's with our spouses, our children, people we work with. You know, people I work with sometimes don't understand. You know, I told you I dropped off some things, some refreshments for Christmas at the office. They don't get it. They go, how come you brought this? Well, because they just wanted to be a blessing to those in the office. I tell them I don't want them cursing and swearing at me when they talk to me about jobs. And they probably think that I'm kind of a kook. But I'm trusting that they're saying in their minds and hearts, there's something different. What's coming out is different than normal. And I tell you, you know, they talk about the new normal, about our political situation. There's a new normal in our culture. It's getting worse and worse. So we either are going to stick to our guns about the Word of God and look stranger and stranger to the world, or we're going to absorb ourselves into that culture. I trust that we don't. I trust that we take that stand and say, you know what? I might look peculiar today, and maybe next year I am going to really look strange. But as long as I'm doing what God says, I don't really care how strange I look. Because that is going to be the difference in possibly someone looking at us and saying, you know what? What they have, I want. Because it's made such a difference in their life. Well, I trust that the Lord would give us something from this morning that we could take and use this week. And I remember the